What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Emily Elizabeth, and I'm the host of the What Fulfills You podcast, a show for and about individuals always seeking to be their best selves. On this show, we talk all about building the mindset, finding the right careers, creating meaningful relationships, and so much more. Welcome to the What Fulfills You podcast. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the What Fulfills You podcast. This episode is a solo bonus one for the week. And as shared on the Instagram stories, I will be diving into a short, fun Q&A episode that is kind of like just a recap of Q1. And as always, I had you guys submit some questions and I selected a few that I feel like are best fit for the show and the things that I've been talking about and working through in my own life. And with that being said, let's dive into the first question. Okay, first question is thoughts on feminine versus masculine energy and how to get more into your feminine energy. I actually discussed this in a recent email newsletter. By the way, if you're not subscribed, you get weekly personal insights from me. It's linked in the show notes. But I'll start with this. I personally do not subscribe to, number one, the things that I have seen frequently on social media, and number two, that in order to, let's say, have or find a masculine man, you must be showing up in your feminine ways, or else, you know, it's really hard to find and have a masculine man show up in your life. It's interesting because maybe if you asked me this 2 years ago, prior to my last relationship, I might be more subscribed to this. But that being said, I'll put it this way. In my last relationship, I was dating someone that did not have the means to provide or quite literally take me on any like extravagant dates and so forth. And here's the thing, I personally did not mind. Maybe it's because I've had the luxury of going on, you know, nice dates in my life where I'm not, I guess you could say, superficial about what a man does and doesn't do for me, but I'm very considerate of his level of thoughtfulness and how he shows up. And this partner I dated, he, while he did not have the means to show up in a certain way, number one, he had the desire to. I think that runs in his blood as a Russian. But also, he showed up in many ways that were super thoughtful and were not extremely costly. And to me, that mattered and meant so much because it was such a strong indicator of how this person felt, how I meant to this person. And I think at the end of the day, ladies, that's what we are really looking for, right? Someone that truly cares about us, someone that we can rely on, someone that we can feel emotionally and physically safe with. And all of those things were met. Now, of course, I've shared this publicly as well. I think that for long-term relationships, lifestyle compatibility, which has a play into financial means and resources, come into play, right? So while I did not mind, I guess, the waiting game or the process to get there, you know, with this previous partner, this person, I think just by nature as well as the culture he grew up in, it wasn't okay with him that he couldn't show up and be able to provide and do all these different things that is very aligned with his internal values. One of the main reasons it didn't work out is because of the fact that he wanted to be able to show up even more in that way, right? Because of his love and care for me. And I share that because I think, number one, I've seen through different social media clips and narratives and conversations that a lot of people have this belief that what makes a man masculine is his ability to provide and have the resources and be able to protect his woman, all of these different things. And in her feminine, she's nurturing and caring and soft and loving. And while I do believe those things are true, I am saying that it is not just that. And a woman, in order for her to be paired up with a more masculine man, a man that takes initiative, a man that loves to care for his woman, you do not need to initially show up that way, I guess, is my personal answer to that. Now, look, I acknowledge that I've been independent, self-sufficient, and the modern day take is, oh, she's not in her feminine, she's very in her masculine because she's an entrepreneur and she can provide for herself, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'll be honest, it really depends on the type of man you're attracting. And in my years as an entrepreneur, since my early 20s, I have not ever dated someone that didn't like to do these things for me because he felt like I was capable of doing it myself. I think the one time that I, which is interesting because I still kind of don't know to this day the why, but I remember I went on 2 dates with this French guy. He was from Paris, but had lived in New York for many years. And as a courtesy on the first date, I personally always offer if they want to share the bill or whatever. And for him, he had responded and said, no, it's fine, but how about you get the drinks at the next place? I'm like, okay. I never mind. Definitely I don't, contributing in any way or, paying for anything. But I have to say, from the experiences I've had being treated and whatnot, I really value and appreciate a man that likes to really court me, especially on a first and second date. The second date we ever went on was a double date with his 2 friends that happened to be married. And they're like a couple in their early 30s. And at that date, we split the bill 4 ways. I was pretty shocked, but obviously I think at that point I was like, I don't think I'm really like feeling it with this guy. But here's the thing, you guys, like the funnier part is it's not about the fact that, oh, maybe he was like struggling or whatever. No, because all of the friends, including the married couple, which I was also intrigued by the whole splitting thing, especially at least like in public, right? They all worked extremely well-off jobs. They were in finance. I saw the couple. They bought a place, a beautiful high-rise in Dumbo, Brooklyn. And so it wasn't about financial means or resources, but maybe just different principles, And look, like I've always said it before, there is no wrong or right answer. And I definitely went on a tangent with this response. But I guess pulling it back to my personal tips on how to quote unquote tap into your feminine energy, especially if you feel like you are super self-sufficient and independent and maybe need to learn how to kind of sway that pendulum a little bit, right? Because I'll say this, I think it is really important as a female and for men to have a balanced approach to masculine and feminine energy. Since my college ex-boyfriend, all the guys I've dated were primarily from somewhere in Europe. And that could have been Italy, Russia, Ukraine, Czech Republic, Germany, you name it. Like, I've dated a lot of guys from Europe. And something I will be really candid with you guys, especially for US listeners, is that I noticed a very distinct difference in their approach to masculinity. And on top of that, their equal balance in feminine and masculine energy. And I loved it. I loved that they were not, you know, so subscribed to this, oh, I gotta be macho and, like, you know, very buff and tough and all that, and, like, you know, pretend like I have such a big dick, right? Like, there, to be honest with you guys, I feel like I see that a lot in the US, and I don't know what the driving factor is, but it's like there's this complaint that, okay, American men or men in the US or North America are, like, becoming more soft. But I think it's so fascinating to see how it differs so much in other cultures, because certain things that are maybe, like, very gentlemanly are just programmed into cultures. Opening the door, or just, you know, treating a woman to a cab home, or, you know, taking her and courting her on a nice date the first time, you know, things like that. I think for me, the one thing, as I wrote in my email too, for feminine energy, I just love to find ways to make my partner's life easier. And I'll tell you this, for the guys that for some reason still love to live in the days of 50 years ago, who prefer their women to be in the kitchen and primarily cook and clean and nurture and raise the kids, and, like, I think those are great and I think it's fabulous, and I have nothing against being that or doing that. But I do know that there are models of people, couples, that live lives that I love and admire and I aspire to have, and they do have some outside help on certain things. And I'm not sitting here saying, oh, I want to have a life where a nanny is fully taking care of my kids and I have a full-time chef and maid and all this, right? Like, no, but I do think that as a woman, I'm more than just a mom per se, and I'm more than just a woman per se, and I'm more than just these narratives and roles that I feel like tend to go hand in hand with the conversation around masculine and feminine energy. You know what I mean? And so I see it as feminine energy. How I tap into it is, I think, number one, allowing my partner or whoever I'm with to take the lead. And to no surprise, it's always been a top preference of mine. After my college boyfriend, as much of a great guy he is, and maybe he's tapped into it more now, I have always taken initiative in my life, was very decisive and assertive, and I always knew that I could not be with someone that did not have the same level of decisiveness and initiative. And so it's personally for me not hard to just let a man, you know, lead and, you know, plan a date or plan a surprise, whatever that is, you know. I love being able to rely on myself. I think it's very important to have, because I do think you can be in a very vulnerable position if you are in a partnership where, let's say, the partner kind of knows that you can't do much without him, you know. So make sure you pick and choose wisely. But that being said, I have never been concerned about allowing a man to just, like, take the initiative. And here's the thing too, there's certain domains in life that I think my male partner is going to take the lead on and is going to be better at. And there are perhaps certain domains that I'm better at and maybe more effective at doing. And I would find it alarming if I was dating someone that felt like, oh, I'm too in my masculine if I help take the lead on certain parts of our life. You know what I mean? So I would just put it out there, like, if you're in a dating situation or if you're dating and you notice that, you know, some guys make comments about how maybe, oh, you shouldn't take the lead because that's very masculine, you know, be wary of that, because everything is about a good balance. And I think it's all about finding what's the best fit for you. And another thing I shared on my email is that, hey, look, I might not always be available or have time to cook gourmet meals for my partner all the time, but I can learn and figure out other ways that helps make my partner's life easier. So maybe he's working and he's at his desk all day. What I would love to do is maybe if I don't have time to cook him something, at least like whether he's at the office, let's just say, right? I would probably just go ahead and have his favorite meal delivered to him, you know? I remember I saw that with my junior year roommate who's now married to this guy, but she dated her high school sweetheart for like 8 or 9 years before they got married. And I was 20 years old. I think she was 23. And I remember he would just have random things like DoorDash or whatever just delivered to the apartment, and it would just, you know, be meals and food, but it's like small things, you know, that he's showing up for her. And I know she was doing vice versa as well. She was in law school. You know, I just think that it's not as hard as, at least from what I'm seeing in the conversations I'm hearing, it's not as hard as tapping into your masculine and tapping into your feminine, you know? Just be you. Seriously, just be you and figure out how to keep it balanced, right? And that's what I've done over the years. I've figured out how to just allow myself to trust people to lead the way and take care of me when I need them to, right? And also equally having the trust in myself, right? So I can rely on myself and I can rely on someone else. And guess what? Here's the thing. I want to be able to rely on someone else as needed, right? So I'm not going to go the extreme like, oh, I'm a feminist and I don't need no man. You know, I'm personally never subscribed to that. And that's why I said in the beginning of this, it is a nuanced perspective. And at the end of the day, you just got to learn how to be yourself. And I think when you are appreciated for how you are showing up, if we want to put it in these boxes, I think that's when your quote unquote feminine energy is more appreciated. If you try to put yourself in a box that's like very specific to what society says is divine feminine and divine masculine, you know, I think it's going to be hard. You're going to feel not yourself. And here's the thing, I think I show up in feminine ways the way I dress. I know that is definitely like an appeal when it comes to the compliments I've been given by men when they're talking about certain feminine qualities they love in a woman. I'll tell you this, it comes down to small details, I guess, especially for the European men that I've dated, but a lot of them paid attention to my nails, which is really weird. You would never think of it. But I remember, shared this before too, but a comment that the mom of this guy that I was like kind of seeing, he shared with me, he looked at my nails, he was like holding them and he's like, I love your nails, they're so beautiful. And you know, I was in Miami at the time living in LA, but visiting Miami, so anytime I go on a trip, I of course do my nails. And he made a comment, he said that his mother told him that if you wanna see how a woman takes care of herself, always look at her nails. But it's fascinating because my mom thinks that's like an extreme comment. She thinks that's like so absurd to always like upkeep your nails or whatever. I think in Asian culture, or at least like in Vietnam, right, it maybe is like a little bit more simple and minimalist. So it's like less about getting your nails done, but maybe more about just keeping them clean, right? So all that to say, there's a lot of different ways you can enhance yourself overall, both internally and externally, to bring that feminine, girly side out of you. But the best way to do it, in my opinion, is doing it in a way that makes sense and fits you. I love dressing a certain way. My style is inspired by like Scandinavian and Parisian fashion, and so that's how I dress. And once again, I notice where I'm appreciated for that, you know? So I'll put it this way, and I said this on the email as well. If you're not appreciated for who you are and how you are showing up, there's probably a good chance that you're just simply in the wrong room.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, next question. Do you go with your gut / intuition or head / logic when considering new opportunities? Oof. I'm going to say both. It really depends on the context of new opportunities. If it is, okay, I'll give an example. If it is an opportunity to add a new client to my portfolio for my marketing agency, and it's a really, you know, good paying monthly retainer, I'll be like, all right, logically, that makes sense, right? That is worthwhile my money or time, whatever. It's worthwhile to be able to onboard this client. Now, where the intuition comes in, which is something I have experienced over the past year, is getting a vibe and an energy off of the person or people that I'm working with. I remember my highest paying client, it was two women who were running also an all-women operation, which in my honest opinion, I'm not always keen on if it's all women because, well, once again, I saw how it came to fruition. But in the beginning, it was going well. But over time, my intuition, I really felt like the leaders of this company were not the type of people I would want to work with. And it just came up more and more intuitively. Like it just, you could feel it kind of almost flaring up internally. I could feel that they were not the right people for me to work with. I could feel like they just lacked the same values as me. For example, they didn't feel like, or at least one of them, didn't feel like it was disrespectful to text me at, you know, 6:30 a.m. and then like expect a response from me within an hour, like just small things like that. And the way this person emailed, I remember I had set up a call to actually part ways with this client, right? And it was my intention, although I didn't quite say what the call was intended for. And I'm hopping on the call because I'm like, all right, you know, I'm about to like be cordial and just like let them know, hey, just feel like we're misaligned, blah, blah, blah. And literally without really saying hello or like warming it up, the one CEO, which again, I mentioned they were co-CEOs, which I already think is a mess. But anyways, she's like, yeah, I think she said something like we're firing your agency, or like she worded it like, or like something very childish. And this woman is like in her 50s and, you know, didn't have children. And I heard like also had like a very messy marriage in the past. So it's funny how certain things come to light when in your gut you feel like something is off with a certain person or a group of people. And in this case, I'm relating it to work and making a decision, right, on, all right, do I move forward? Do I work with these people? Do I not? And so, personally, my answer is always both. Yeah, you know, sometimes there are certain things I'll look back, like moving to LA, moving to New York was all really just like a gut thing. Definitely moving to LA from Orange County, California was all a gut instinct thing. But it also wasn't terribly irrational either, in the sense that I knew, okay, these are the expenses, right? This is how much my expenses will increase. This is the area that I'm going to live in. This is, you know, where I'm going to work out. These are some of the people I know in the city. You know what I mean? So I think in most cases, even if the leading decision maker is very intuitive, I do rationalize the process a bit just to ensure that I'm not being impulsive and stupid, because I have seen people like make very impulsive decisions without kind of weighing the practical things in life, which, you know, in most cases, like unless you have a shit ton of money, you're gonna have to weigh in those practical elements that can be obstacles in your decision making, you know. And sometimes it's only like a chapter of your life where you have to weigh that out, and sometimes it's not, right? So it just really depends on the scenario. But it, like I said, in most cases I use both logic and intuition. Okay, last question. Advice on getting out of feeling stuck, stagnant, or in a rut, whether it's in your career or life. So I actually kind of went through this process about a year ago, and I have to say the first thing that comes to mind is returning to things in my childhood that made me happy and excited. For me, one of those things is tennis. If you guys follow me on Instagram or know a little bit about my backstory, I am a former competitive tennis player. I played for about 10 years. I played in tournaments since I was like 8 or 9 years old. And my older brother was higher level than me, and he played in college. And so I really got the chance to experience training with him and kind of learning the ropes with him on the journey of tennis. Interestingly, even though I lived in California where it's sunny all the time, it's the perfect weather for tennis, I didn't really pick up my rackets when I was in California. I was kind of in and out of tennis, maybe played once a year, to be honest. And it's funny because I actually, one of my best friends, Harry, who's been on the show, we were hitting the other weekend in New York, and I asked him, because it was his first time seeing me since I picked up my racket, or seeing me play rather, since I picked up my racket last May and started making a consistent thing in my life. And I asked him, hey, what do you think of my tennis now? Like, would you agree that I'm actually kind of better than how I used to be in Malibu when we used to play with, you know, celebrities and all? He was like a celebrity coach basically because he played Division I. So that's a whole other story. But I used to play with him like for doubles and everything, super fun. And I mean, fuck, like I'm so different now, right? Like so much better. And he's like, yeah, like you're easily like way better, more sharp, more consistent, more comfortable with the ball. And so that's my first thing. And it's funny because I think the girl who submitted this question, I actually had a call with her for, you know, community related things. And she had brought up that she also had not too long ago returned to a sport that she used to do. And it's made her feel different and all of these different things. She made a friend out of it, I believe. And so that's my first thing. For those of you who are listening in your 20s, I can't emphasize enough the importance of finding and or going back to a hobby that made you light up as a kid. And here's the thing, one of the obstacles I see, or rebuttals, if you will, I see a lot of people making, especially if you're 25, you live in a city or something, you're like, oh, I don't know who's gonna go with it with me. Go by yourself. Stop waiting for other people to come with you, okay? Because just because you go out to dinner and drinks with the same group of girls all the time, maybe none of them enjoy painting or pottery or, you know, gymnastics because you did it for so long back in the day. You know what I mean? If it's gymnastics, go take gymnastics classes again, or go join a soccer league or a tennis league or whatever that looks like. You know, I can't emphasize enough, when you change, like physically change your routine, that makes a huge difference. Now, a tier up from that is adding that change and then making it more than once a week, okay? Or, you know, increasing the frequency. Because for me, last May, I got back into tennis. And then I started, you know, maybe once a week. And then I slowly did like 2 to 3 times a week. And then next thing you know, in June, I was showing up there like 4 times a week, playing every morning from like 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. or sometimes 8 to 11. It was crazy out in the heat and the sun. And so that made a big difference for me, because if I share this with my psychologist at the time too, because as a kid, I really thrived in environments under pressure for, like, you know, getting ready to go compete or getting ready to go perform, right? I missed that kind of adrenaline and that kind of challenge, if you will. And it's not to say that I gotta be competitive in my day-to-day life, because I don't want that, you know, but I like a sport or something to kind of put that old Emily's energy into, if you know what I mean. The second thing, I would say that would apply to life. So that's getting yourself out of a rut in life. I think the second thing, if you're not picking up a hobby that's like physically active, then definitely make being physically active a very, very disciplined routine, okay? There is nothing better. I've done this like many times. I did this after my first breakup. I did this also after my last breakup. And I've done this in times, I think this is during the pandemic, where I was like definitely just in a life rut, okay? Was feeling it. And I mean, I know a lot of us were feeling it from the pandemic, but like I was feeling it. And I also wasn't loving how my physique looked. I was a little, I don't know, I just wasn't fitting in the jeans. While I was like getting down on myself, I did not like it. So I would change up my routine. I went to the gym. I mean, it was hard obviously during the pandemic, but then I would invite girlfriends who, you know, I would like to catch up with as well. I'd be like, hey, do you want to go on a walk with me? Like 6:45 tomorrow morning, let's do an hour. Let's walk like 4 miles. And there's like a trail where I used to live, and I'm actually visualizing it right now. And it was awesome, you know, just to go on that walk, to have that trail. That helped me get out of the rut, I think, for two reasons. Number one, being physically active and then getting my body to change, right? And then number two, at times doing it with a friend and getting, you know, that social interaction and catching up moment. All that for me was really helpful in getting myself out of that 2020, 2021 rut that I was kind of in. When it comes to a rut on the career side, this might surprise some of you, but something I've noticed that has been effective for me is when I feel like I'm in a rut in work, instead of leaning into that rut where I start to procrastinate or start to dilly-dally, I love using that terminology, but instead of doing that, I lean into actually going against the rut. So maybe I don't feel like doing the work, or maybe I don't feel like putting in the hours, I start to do more. And what I mean by that is, for example, I've been in a process where I'm trying to better understand what I want out of my content creator life as a, you know, micro influencer, and what I want out of this podcast, and how I can make shifts and how I can provide more value, right? This is actually something I've had different conversations with in the recent weeks with one-on-one podcast listeners. And why I'm doing it is because I have been in a slight rut, I think more so in the past year. And now I'm actually trying to evaluate how can I improve and get out of that rut, or, you know, get into that growth part of a graph. If you're imagining a graph, right, it goes like up and down. How can I get into like the growth trajectory, right? So instead of procrastinating and feeling upset and feeling like, oh, I'm not getting anywhere with my career, or like I don't know what I'm doing, I lean into it. So let's say you work a corporate job of some sort, or just work a job, right? And maybe you're dabbling with the idea of switching jobs or switching industries, or maybe you're dabbling with the idea of like picking up something on the side, maybe freelancing something on the side, right? Don't wait, just start. Just do it today. Start today, literally, right? If you're like, well, I don't know where to start, well, write it down. Literally write it down. Let's say you're exploring the idea of switching jobs. Okay, write down all the industries on a notebook, right? Write it down, the industries that makes you curious, and then write next to each industry why that industry makes you curious. Maybe it's finance because it's high paying. Maybe it's startups because it's interesting and innovative, right? Maybe it's fashion because, you know, since you were a kid, you were always into style and that's something you're naturally good at. Okay, but then pay is an issue. You want something more high paying. Okay, you have two routes. Maybe you work in like the corporate side of things, or maybe you work, you know, you accept this part of the fashion world, but then you take on a freelancing job, right? You know what I mean? Write it down, make like moves, you know? Because I think the longer you procrastinate while you are in a rut, the more in a rut you get into, okay? There's no proven concept to this, or maybe there is. I don't personally know the top of my head, but all I know is these are the things that I have done in the past few years to get myself out of feeling stuck. And I want to elaborate that I get stuck all the time, right? And there's moments and times for pausing and regrouping, and then there's times for, okay, action, execute. To be honest with you, that is solely and one of the biggest core differences in people that you might see or deem as successful, or they're living a very lucky life, or it's kind of like you look at them and you're like, damn, that must be nice. Everyone has different luck factors that play, but let me tell you, there is a very likely chance that they just went on the grind and just executed. And maybe they were doing it for years and like you just didn't quite know they were executing all those years, and now you've seen, you know, years of success that has added up, right? So that's my biggest tip, is in any kind of rut, get moving, whether that's physically or whether that's actually making the changes occur. Create deadlines, create urgency, because the longer you wait, the longer it takes to get out of the rut. All right, guys, that was all for today's short, fun Q1 wrap-up Q&A episode. I hope you guys enjoy these and enjoy me just diving into questions that you guys have. I do like to try to make this a monthly thing or quarterly, just kind of figuring that one out. But I enjoy interacting with you guys and learning more of the types of questions you like me to answer. And as always, please do not hesitate to engage with me in the DMs. Let me know what type of content you enjoy. Let me know the topics you've learned the most from me, and vice versa. All feedback is welcome. And as always, thank you for having me be a part of your personal growth journey in creating a fulfilling life for yourself. I am so passionate about this, and I'm very excited to continue this with you guys in this year. Thanks again for tuning in today. I will chat with you all in the next episode.